This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. Singapore High Commissioner to Malaysia has come out to criticise Utusan Malaysia for its stinging editorial on a proposed amendment to its elected president system. The High Commission understood that the editorial as suggesting that Singapore, and I quote, that in Singapore, a meritocracy was always being used as an excuse to discriminate against Malays. Meritocracy is open to manipulation, and that Malays have become weaker and marginalised from the corridors of power. The Singapore High Commission believes that these accusations are baseless and mischievous. On the line is Shariman Lokman, Senior Editor Analyst at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies. Good morning and thank you so much for joining us. I want to begin with the question, as some observers note, Utusan is seen as reflecting the concerns of UMNO. Is there a question about the timing of this criticism of Singaporean politics?
Well, I wouldn't put too much stock in the timing of this editorial, to be honest. I mean, for Utusan, it's become a bit of a tick to talk about all these things about Malays in Singapore, you know. I very much doubt that it's directed by anything. It's par for the course for Utusan to talk about these things. I just think that the High Commissioner was perhaps reacting a bit too strongly to, you know, what is regular fare for Utusan.
Why is it that after so many decades, the High Commissioner would, in fact, as you put it, overreact? Why take the bait, knowing that Utusan has a particular kind of vehicle, a particular kind of audience, and perhaps, indulges in a particular kind of rhetoric?
Well, I guess, you know, to a certain extent, both countries haven't really gotten over the separation in 1965. I mean, it's been almost 52 years. But the effects have sort of lingered, hasn't it? I mean, I guess partly because, you know, for a long time, Malaysia and Singapore were basically led by people who were very close to the situation in 1965. For Singapore, for a long time, it was Lee Kuan Yew. And we had Tun Mahathir, although not directly, you know, connected to the events in 65, you know, he was pretty close to the situation. You know, so I know it's, it's partly that, it's the historical baggage, I guess. It's also because we are so close. I mean, it's inevitable, I guess, that countries that are this close, this tightly bound, get into this sort of arguments from time to time. I mean, as we speak, some of your listeners are probably crossing the causeway. You know, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of them. So
we don't actually reach down all the way to Johor Bahru, but if they're streaming it, they certainly can hear this conversation. I do want to ask you, since you mentioned it, Dr. Mahathir, how would you compare Malaysia-Singapore relations during these very distinct periods? We've had 22 years of Dr. Mahathir, then we had Abdullah Ahmad Badawi, and then the Kosakaran Najib Razak administration. Of the three, how would you compare them in terms of bilateral relations, warm, cold, frosty, or, you know, positive?
Well, during Tun Mahathir's time, I guess he had very strong views about the relationship. I mean, Tun Mahathir and Lee Kuan Yew, these are two people whose personal prejudices quickly became policy, didn't they? I mean, whatever they thought became foreign policy. Well, that made things a bit testy between Malaysia and Singapore during when their tenures overlapped. But things, I guess, everyone will remember that things began to improve when Tun Mahathir took over, Tun Abdullah took over as Prime Minister. I think it became a bit more, you know, more about cooperation, what we could get from each other and all that, less about the historical baggage. And under, you know, Dato' Sri Najib, I guess it's become, it's become a technical relationship. You look at when Dato' Sri Najib meets with Lee Hsien Loong, it's less of a meeting between two political leaders, more like a meeting between CEOs of two big companies. You know, what can we do together? You know, it's become a bit more transactional, less to do with some bigger ideas and all that. Yeah.
Finally, there remain some core bilateral issues between the two countries, beyond the question of rhetoric and the, you know, grandstanding that politicians on either side of the causeway might indulge in. What would you identify as core bilateral issues that remain a challenge for both countries?
Well, first of all, they need to settle this thing about the high-speed rail project. I mean, this is huge. And once they get this through, this will be a real testament to the relationship. I mean, what's going to happen is that it's going to cut down the travel times from Singapore to Malaysia, to Kuala Lumpur, to about 90 minutes. That's shorter than a commute for a lot of us, actually. You know, once they get that through, that will be a real, you know, it will have a demonstrative effect on the entire relationship. It will really, really improve the atmospherics. I guess the other issues would be, you know, things like Pedra Branca or what we call Pulau Batu Putih. You know, getting that out of the way would be useful. Malaysia is appealing the decision of the ICJ. And once that's done, once there's finality in that, I think things will improve. You know, the water deals and all that are just, you know, minor irritants. And basically, it was a big irritant in the early 2000s, but, you know, once Singapore is, you know, has fully become self-sufficient in the water, you know, I don't think there will be much problems there.
Thank you very much. That was Shariman Lokman, senior analyst with the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, commenting on this storm in a teacup between Utusan and his editorial, written by, you know, under the nom de plume Awang Selamat, and of course the response from the Singapore High Commissioner to Malaysia.
And as you pointed out, perhaps there's an element of overreaction on the part of the High Commission, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what Shariman's saying. And the question, of course, is both sides of the causeway are political. I mean, in the sense that there's always a political agenda. You know, each side will deny it, of course. That's normal. But I think more importantly, when we look beyond the rhetoric, the question of those bilateral issues that remain between the two countries, I think that's very important. I'm so glad that Shariman Lokman pointed that out to us.
And also moving beyond that political agenda, and as he pointed out as well, you know, the relationship between Singapore and Malaysia appears to be rather transactional. That was the word he used,
yeah,
right?
Transactional, yeah. But in a good way, right? Yeah. Transactional could mean that you're just a professional, pragmatic, mm-hmm. you're looking at the cold hard facts and moving beyond the kind of emotive, hot button issues that have often animated the dynamics between the two countries.
Yeah, and certainly the high speed rail now, I mean, think about it, just to attach a number to it, that project alone is estimated to cost some 60 billion ringgit, right? So 60 billion ringgit, and on top of, you know, the other deals with, say, you know, the well, versus the territorial dispute or the water disputes or potential water disputes, you know, so yeah, it certainly puts it into perspective. And I think it's important that we highlight the subtle change. Well, perhaps it's more obvious to some, but to me it's a bit more subtle in terms of focusing on these kind of deals, you know, versus those hot button issues that you spoke about.
And of course, you know, relationships between the two countries are not just government to government, they're people to people. As Shariman pointed out, thousands of Malaysians working in Singapore, actually lots of Singaporeans coming and travelling and spending their money, and in fact now living in Iskandar in Malaysia. So a lot of opportunities for, you know, deepening ties people to people.
And that synergy very much embodied in you, my friend.
Oh, and you, my friend, on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.